So this is part three of what was originally supposed to be just a comment on a blog post that I found. And I'm a big fan of Douglas Adams, so those of you who know The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy might understand why I have something that was a two-part post transformed into a three-part post. And I'm also a big fan for blog posts of follow-ups based on feedback. And in this case, as I'm recording this, I haven't received any feedback. In fact, I just posted the first one, and the second post is scheduled for publishing tomorrow. So I'm not surprised that I haven't received any feedback. And it's more like an internal dialogue, or to be more specific, it's based on something that I've heard several times, and I think it kind of will appear again in this context, that one of the reasons to keep the Tellier system is something that we should think about. So basically the question is, what about job security? And I do think about this quite a bit for many reasons, and not only for the Tellier system actually, also for different other things. And I do think it's a good question, it's not a bad question, or anything like that, but I think it's overemphasized. I think that people make too much out of job security as being what the tenure system is about. And so in the first part, I talked about contract teaching and what could happen with contract teaching with different models, how they compare. In the second part, I was talking about research and what it involves in terms of tenure, basically saying that, well, if tenure is about research, about getting people to do research, is it really what they do, and are they not other ways to do it? So in this third part, and there might be others, but in this third part, I'm talking about this this argument that is often discussed in terms of tenure, that without tenure, a university professor wouldn't get enough job security to be worth it. I don't specifically disagree with the concept itself, and it's especially hard to switch from a system in which you have this kind of job security, which is tremendous, into something that really basically is either without any job security or has another kind of job security which is not as strong. So it's obviously a very strong argument for the tenure system. But for one thing, I think that job security is more of a labor issue than an issue that has to do with the tenure system itself. The way the tenure system is structured, the fact that it provides job security has to do with different things, including the fact that you can build programs, you can start something that you will finish later, that you can be an advisor to students for the long term and that kind of thing. At the same time, because it's so strict, it's so rigid in terms of once you have tenure, it's extremely hard to get rid of you. And on the other hand, to get tenure, it's extremely strict in terms of what you have to do. So it's a system that is very rare overall in the rest, in other walks of life, in terms of other jobs. This kind of job security is almost unheard of. One example that I think about that is fairly similar is, in some contexts, government jobs are fairly close to that, that you probably won't get fired from your job unless something extremely big happens. The result in the public sector is sometimes people get what we call in Quebec shelved. They get put on a shelf, that it's another job that they have to do to get paid the same salary, but because they weren't very, you know, something didn't work out in their jobs, or they weren't that qualified, or they didn't adapt properly, so they can't really do the job for which they were originally hired anymore, but still they have a job, they have employment, and they follow their career. So in that context, the equivalent of the tenure system is a disincentive for a lot of flexibility in the way you work. And there are some complaints, even from people who have been put in a situation where they still work for the government, but they can't cope anymore, and they don't work in the job they were originally hired for. So even that example shows, to me at least, that this kind of long-term job security is probably a part of a problem, can be a problem in this, at least in the current job market. It's also obviously very hard to get people to work, for instance, less hours so that other people can get a chance. And there's a tendency to not hire that much new blood because you already have so many people who won't leave until retirement. The original post that triggered me into this whole at this point series was talking about the fact that the tenure system has some disadvantages in those respects, that once you can't fire someone and there aren't requirements in terms of retirement, that someone could stay until 75 years old and something like that, which is actually fairly common in academia, it causes a number of problems if you want to adapt your department or your faculty to some different needs. And an associated problem with that is that the way the direction of the department will be decided tends to be during search committees, during the time you're hiring someone new, which might happen very regularly or actually very rarely. And because it's done on those occasions, it causes a stir. It causes a system by which you want to hire someone, you think you know who you want to hire, but people are discussing that, well, maybe you should get someone in going in a different direction. And once you hire that person, it's actually very likely in academia in general, that this person will work in to do something else that might not be related to her or his field originally. And there's all sorts of issues associated with that. The other issue that I think about is just the concept of job security as an end-all. And this is actually a broader issue that I think isn't addressed enough, is that in most of society, at least in Canada and the U.S., as far as I've seen, a lot of people are going from one job to the next, and this is often seen as a problem, but there are also a bunch of people who are finding something interesting in there, that they don't get stuck in the same job forever, and they don't wait for retirement. They actually go from one job to the next, thinking about what they could do. Their lives change, and sometimes the next job they get might not be as interesting in terms of finance, but is more interesting in terms of what they want to do. And there's a lot of incentives to go on different career paths, and it gives us something that is very diverse in the workplace, that you get people who were originally in one field who get to work in another field, and there's a lot of allowances for this to happen. And even though it's seen as a problem if you compare it to the kind of job security that was available in, say, the 1960s, at least in Quebec, it was very clear in the 1960s or the 70s that it was easy to get a job and it was easy to keep it forever. In this case, nowadays, like in 2010, well, it's probably harder to get a job. And once you get your job, there's less guarantee that you'll keep it forever. And chances are that you might not want to keep it. So a lot of people make decisions in terms of getting that kind of job security. And the notion is that you can't plan anything in life if you don't have the kind of job security on which you depend to do to make some decisions. I tend to disagree. Part of it is because I don't have job security myself. I have been fairly stable recently, but basically, even now, I don't have any job security whatsoever, and it doesn't bug me down at all. Of course, I don't have a mortgage, and I don't have a car, but I can not only survive, but, I handle things in a way that make a lot of sense to me, and which is fine. I actually feel great in this context, and it reminds me of a friend of mine who lost his job the day before he was signing his mortgage, and he also has kids and such. So he lost his job, and he was actually not unhappy about it. He knew that it would work out because he also already did some consulting work on a contract basis, but in fact on a very punctual basis, and he was able to get that kind of money, actually as much as almost as much or even as much as he got in his prior job. His job wasn't academic, but it's the same principle that once you get out of this job security mode, different things can happen. And if you allow yourself different opportunities, it might be very scary, but it can lead to something very interesting. So specifically about academia, about tenure track jobs, one thing that happens, the first thing is that the turnover is really high, that a lot of people who are hired on a tenure track actually leave, I heard, within 18 months, which sounds extremely short because, you know, the tenure procedure takes a number of years, usually five, I think, from what I've heard. I've heard of shorter and longer, but usually five. And if people leave after something like a third of the way through, it means that, you know, you have to go through the process again, that you plan it. Yes, it's supposed to be for 5 years for the tenure track itself, and then hopefully for, you know, 20 years afterwards. But if people leave anyway, you end up with a system which is not as stable as even a contract-based system, especially if the contract basis is based on longer-term contracts. So those 5 years that people have to spend making their mark in a department and doing all sorts of work to make sure that they will eventually get tenure is not exactly a drain on the system, but it's if those people actually end up leaving before they get tenure or just after they get tenure, you end up having lost kind of part of that time. Of course, there's been a lot of productivity during that time, but the person who was associated with that productivity is not there anymore, so you don't get the benefits of having this tenured professor who was doing all that kind of interesting research. So you could argue that those people who are leaving a tenure track before their time is up to apply for tenure are not seeking job security or have higher incentives or deeper incentives than just job security. One thing that happens is that some people are so convinced that they will get tenure that they start buying houses and making commitments to remain the place where they're on the tenure track. And when they get denied tenure, which happens occasionally, I don't think there's a high proportion of people who are denied tenure, but it does happen. And when it does happen, it's a high cost for them because they end up with, well, basically stuck in the same place where they wanted to get tenure. So it's the illusion of job security in a way that gets them in trouble. As a professor I had from Ghana was saying, I won't make a decision in terms of getting a house or anything like that until I get tenure. So this guy, this professor from Ghana, was actually living in university housing with his wife and kids until he got tenured. And he did get tenure eventually, and I think he bought a house. But before he got tenure, he was assuming that his job security wasn't insured. And I think that's a very reasonable position, but one that gets in the way of this illusion of job security that people have. So that's, you know, just a few thoughts about job security that I have in terms of tenure. And I will probably revisit those topics in the future, but I just wanted to put this out there, and actually I'll post it after the second post will be there, so it's not like it's preceding the other one, but it's just a few thoughts like that. And obviously, I might be wrong, I might be off. I'm not saying that I have the solution or anything like that, but what I am saying is that job security in itself is not a sufficient argument for the tenure system. I think it has some disadvantages. I think it's partly an illusion, and I know that it's possible to live a healthy life without this kind of job security. So that's about it. Thanks.